Maitreya Vacha. Maitreya said, Iti thus. Pracheto bihi. By the Prachetas. Avishtutaha. Being praised. Purihi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pritaha. Being pleased. Tata. So. Iti. Thus. Aha. Said. Sharanya. To the surrendered souls. Vatsalaha. Affectionate. Anichatam. Not desiring. Yanam. His departure. Atripta. Not satisfied. Chakshusham. Their eyes. Yayao. He left. Swadama. To his own abode. Anapavarga viryaha. Whose prowess is never defeated. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the surrendered souls, being thus addressed by the Prachetas and worshipped by them, replied, may whatever you have prayed for be fulfilled. After saying this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose prowess is never defeated, left. The Prachetas were unwilling to be separated from him because they had not seen him to their full satisfaction. So you repeat, the great sage Maitreya continued. My dear Vidura,
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who is the protector of surrendered souls,
being thus addressed by the Prachetas
and worshipped by them, replied,
may whatever you have prayed for
be fulfilled.
After saying this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
whose prowess is never
defeated,
left.
The Prachetas were unwilling to be separated from him
because they had not seen him to their full satisfaction.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. The word anapavargavirya is significant in this verse. The word ana means without, pavarga means the materialistic way of life, and virya means prowess. The prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead always contains six basic opulences, one of which is renunciation. Although the Prachetas desired to see the Lord to their full satisfaction, the Lord left. According to Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī, this is an exhibition of his kindness to innumerable other devotees. Although he was being attracted by the Prachetas, he left. This is an example of his renunciation. This renunciation was also exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he stayed with the Dvaita Prabhu after taking sannyas. All the devotees there wanted him to stay a few days longer, but Lord Chaitanya left without hesitation. The conclusion is that although the Supreme Lord has unlimited kindness for his devotees, he is not attached to anyone. He is equally kind to his innumerable devotees all over the creation. So, Maitreya Vacha Iti Prachetavir Abhishtuto Hashi Pritastitecha Sharanya Vatsalaha Anichitam Yanam Trittichakshusham Yayasudambana Pavargathiryaha. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, the story of how Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and what he did after he took sannyas and how he exhibited his renunciation. It's quite interesting in this regard. Śrīla Prabhupāda cites this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas when he was only 24 years of age.
And his wife was very, very young, like 16 years of age. And it was his second wife, his first wife, Lakshmi Priya, had died due to the snake bite of separation from the Lord. The Lord had gone to East Bengal, ostensibly to make money. It's actually funny. Because the Brahmanas, the way they would make money is they would preach yajan yajan patin patan, dana pratigraha. They would give charity, accept charity, teach, perform sacrifice, learn how to perform sacrifice, teach how to teach sacrifice, etc. So he went to East Bengal to because he needed some money, I guess. Of course, the Lord doesn't need money. Anyway, so he went to West Bengal and during East Bengal, sorry. And during that time, his wife was feeling so much separation that she basically left her body out of intense mood of separation, and Sachi Mata was completely bereft. The money is coming out of your wallet there. Unless you want me to grab it. It's tempting, so... Oh, you couldn't hear. I just said there was money pouring out of your wallet. No, it's in there now. So anyway, getting back to the point. So it's described as a snake, but a snake bite of separation. So in other words, it was personified separation of the Supreme Person. And so Mother Sachi was completely bereft. And when Lord Chaitanya came back from East Bengal, she explained to him what had happened, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, consoled her and told her the whole story of how it was supposed to happen like that. Anyway, and so based on her past life. So then Lord Chaitanya eventually married Vishnupriya. And he married Vishnupriya, and it was a very, very nice description in the Chaitanya Bhagavad about the marriage to Vishnupriya. In any case, he left home when she was 16 years of age. Can you imagine that? Poor girl. And in this way, he exhibited his renunciation. It's described, he swam across the river and met Keshava Bharati. Keshava Bharati, of course, was his sannyas guru. Ishwara Puri was his initiating guru, but Keshava Bharati was the sannyas guru. And then Keshava Bharati was a member of the Shankara, one of the Shankara Sampradayas. There's many different Shankara Sampradayas, or impersonalist Sampradayas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to initiate Keshava Bharati, his spiritual master, into Vaishnava Sannyas before Lord Chaitanya was able to take Vaishnava Sannyas from Keshava Bharati. It may sound a little confusing. But what happened is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Keshava Bharati, "Last night I had the dream, and in this dream, you were giving me this sannyas mantra, and I want to whisper it into your ear." So he whispered the mantra into Keshava Bharati's Maharaj's ear, and in this way, Keshava Bharati Maharaj became initiated into Vaishnava sannyas. And then Keshava Bharati actually recited that same mantra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was giving him sannyas. And at that time, Nimai not only, of course, he wasn't known as Lord Chaitanya until after he took sannyas. So Nimai not only renounces family, but he renounces long black hair. There was a barber who actually refused, I think the barber's name was Madhu, but anyway, the barber refused to cut his hair. He said, "I'm not going to cut that beautiful person's hair, the beautiful hair." And Lord Chaitanya said, "This is going to be the last time you have to cut anyone's hair for the rest of your life. You know, you'll have enough money, you won't have to be a barber anymore." So he cut Lord Chaitanya's hair, and there was another devotee there. His name was Chaitanya Das. He saw Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, and he heard Lord Chaitanya's name, Chaitanya, and he was immersed in ecstasy, just saying, "Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya," and he went back home. And as a result, he got the name Chaitanya Das, and he was the father of Srinivasacharya. But that's another story. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, leaving aside his most attractive young, beautiful wife and devoted, doting mother who would do anything for him, for the sake of helping us. And two reasons, of course. That's the esoteric reason. The esoteric reason is that he wanted to help us by taking sannyas. People would respect him. He'd be able to preach widely. He wouldn't be just confined in Navadvip and Mayapur. And so after he took sannyas, his whole idea was not to go back home to say goodbye to his family. His whole idea was to go to Vrindavan. So what happened is that Nityananda Prabhu tricked him. He took him by the path, I think it was called the Chaturbhuja path, but anyway, he took him by the path back to his Advaita Acharya's home. And he had told Lord Chaitanya that actually this is the path to Vrindavan. In fact, when they got to the Ganges, he told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the Ganges was the Yamuna. So he didn't lie, really. You could say he was a little tricky, but he didn't lie, because if you examine the rivers in India, you'll see at a particular point, which is called the Triveni, the Yamuna, the Ganges, and the Saraswati, a river, they sort of merge into one. So one can say that at a certain point or a certain part of the Ganges, the Yamuna is flowing. So it was that particular part the Lord Nityananda told Lord Chaitanya was the Yamuna. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he jumped into the Yamuna, or the Ganges, as the case may be. And it's interesting that when they came to the other side, he saw Advaita Acharya there, and he said to Advaita Acharya, "What are you doing here in Vrindavan?" It's an interesting story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some of you have read that story. He said, "What are you doing in Vrindavan?" And then they revealed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually it wasn't Vrindavan. It was Mayapur. And so, at that point, Lord Chaitanya was a little, I don't say upset, but he was just like, you know, Lord Nityananda has actually tricked me again. Because Lord Nityananda would sometimes trick Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into doing things. So Lord Chaitanya stayed, as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada here, for several days in the house of Advaita Acharya, and Mother Sachi actually came and cooked for him during that time. And of course his wife didn't come. When one takes sannyas, one shouldn't see one's wife again. In ISKCON it's quite interesting, because one time a sannyasi, or several times sannyasis, wrote to Srila Prabhupada that not that they should speak to their wives again, that's a different thing, but how can I go to this particular temple? They went to a particular area where there was a temple. They said, "I can't go to the temple because my ex-wife or wife is there." And Prabhupada said, "No, that's neutral ground. You know, just don't talk to her. You can actually visit the temple, obviously." So the sannyasi was in the same city, just not, he refused to go to the temple because his ex-wife was at the temple. Of course, there was another instance, and I won't mention the sannyasi's name, where the sannyasi was told not to have anything to do with his wife. The Christian would take care of his wife. He didn't have to worry about his wife, but he gave him so much an anxiety because his wife went around with different men, and she actually caused him to have so much anxiety that he left the order of sannyas and took up again with his wife. Shortly thereafter, his wife left him, and he married another wife. So, anyway, the injunction is, when one takes sannyas, one should not be speaking with one's wife. I mean, there's one funny story, I don't know if I should tell it, that one time I was in Mexico City, and what happened is that the temple president called for Hridayananda Maharaj's ex-wife to come be the pujari there, and Hridayananda Maharaj was the GVC. So, you know, how to deal with such a situation like that. So he arrives in Mexico City. I was there at the same time. So it was actually really funny. It wasn't funny then. Now it's funny, thinking of it. That in Mexico City, let me describe how the temple is. There's a balcony over the main entrance to the temple. Anyone here been to Mexico City? Oh, yeah, you have. There's a balcony over the main entrance to the temple, and then there's a hall downstairs. So, and the sannyasa room is up on the top, on the second floor, right next to the attached to the balcony. So he would stand at the door of the sannyasa room without looking down, and I would be downstairs, and he would yell, "Tell this person this." And the person would hear that, but I would have to turn around and say to the person, "He said this." And she would reply, and she said, "What about this?" And I said, "She said, what about this?" And then we'd go back and forth, back and forth. And then finally, you know, I was a brahmachari at that time, in the old days. This was 1972, you know, a long time ago. He calls me in his room, and he said, "Do you really think it's the best thing that my ex-wife is in the same temple where I'm at?" I said, "I think it's a bad idea." So the next day, she was on her way to Puerto Rico. So that's an interesting story. So basically, one's not supposed to communicate with the ex-wife. One can communicate with the children, like Prabhupada communicated with his children. One can communicate with the mother, like Lord Chaitanya communicated with the mother, but not with the ex-wife. And there's a reason for that, is that the attachment is, of course, very, very deep. Of course, one's attachment for the mother is very, very deep, too, but specifically with the sannyasi, it's the ex-wife. And Lord Chaitanya was so strict, of course, in dealing between sannyasis and women that we understand that he had this punishment that he gave to Junior Haridas. When Junior Haridas just like made some innocent mistake, I wasn't in Junior Haridas's house or in his mind or really know what he was thinking, but anyway, and Lord Chaitanya said that if one looks to a woman for sense gratification after taking sannyasis, it's better to commit suicide. You know, Prabhupada was very, Lord Chaitanya was very heavy. Prabhupada was not so heavy about that. Although we did have one devotee who committed suicide, that was the Vishnu Janan Maharaj. But Prabhupada allowed the devotees who took sannyas and had some problems to come back and preach in a different ashram. Anyway, so that's the point. So getting back to the point of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, so even after he took sannyas and was at the house of Advaitacharya, he actually approached his mother, which is interesting. Because it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya is the best devotee of a mother. And so one of the descriptions of Lord Chaitanya is that he's the best mother's devotee in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm not saying that you have to follow your mother. I mean, yesterday I was talking to my mother and she said, you know, "Why did you join the Krishna Consciousness? You had so much talent. You could have been like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or something like that." So I said, "Hare Krishna." But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said to his mother, "I've given up my real wealth with it, which is my, you know, relationship with you and my dealings with you, and I've taken sannyas. You know, please forgive me." He was begging forgiveness from his mother. And he said to his mother, "Where should I..." Basically, he discussed with his mother, "Where should I reside?" And then it was decided that he should reside in Jagannath Puri. I mean, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have gone to Vrindavan. Of course, he went to Jagannath Puri for the purposes of showing the mood of Vipralamba Seva, because in Jagannath Puri, the Lord is worshipped in the mood of intense separation. I mean, that's the whole point about Lord Jagannath. The Lord Jagannath has his big eyes like that, and Subhadra has her big eyes, and Balaram has his big eyes because they're feeling separation from Vrindavan. So he's the Vipralamba Murti. You understand? Lord Jagannath sometimes describes the Vipralamba Murti because he's Krishna, and Krishna actually showed himself like that when he was feeling separation from Vrindavan. Of course, we understand there's the unfinished deity story by Vishwakarma. That's one story. But the actual reason Krishna appears like that is because he's feeling separation. So that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri. But still, externally, he asked his mother permission to go to Jagannath Puri. He said, because if I go to Jagannath Puri, there'll be devotees coming back and forth. It's not that far. I mean, it is pretty far. It takes several days to walk the distance between Puri and West Bengal. But anyway, so it's not that far. So there'd be devotees coming back and forth with news all the time, and she would be pacified by hearing that news. And not only that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was such a great devotee of his mother. I mean, here we're talking about the Lord's renunciation. That externally appeared that, you know, he gave up everything. But what happened is that he would come every day to take prasadam, or to take bhoga, you know, take the offering that Mother Sachi was making for him, even when he was in Jagannath Puri, even when he was in South India, even when he was traveling in Vrindavan. Because one time, Lord Chaitanya sent Jagadananda Pandit to Mayapur, because, anyway, for a variety of reasons, like Jagadananda Pandit sometimes got really angry at Lord Chaitanya because he was in the mood of Satyabhama. There was an interesting story about Jagadananda Pandit. The Jagadananda Pandit, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had basically refused to accept the sandalwood oil that he had made, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had refused to accept a bed that he made for him, Jagadananda Pandit got kind of angry, even after Lord Chaitanya tried to pacify him. And Jagadananda Pandit really just wanted to go to Vrindavan, just to, because he was in a mood of anger towards Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's not good to go to Vrindavan in that mood. And then Jagadananda Pandit assured him that, you know, I'm gone because I actually want to see Krishna as a boat. But even when he went to Vrindavan, and he came across Sanatan Goswami, of course they had a great relationship, but Sanatan Goswami had a red cloth on his head that was given to him by another sannyasi, Mukunda Saraswati. And Jagadananda Pandit got so angry at Sanatan Goswami, he basically took some pots to hit him with. And he says, how can you wear anything that has been given by any other sannyasi other than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So he had this mood of anger. So when he went to Bengal to see Mother Sachi, he told Mother Sachi that Lord Chaitanya is coming every day to eat. And Mother Sachi thought about it, and she said, yes. She said, sometimes I'm making an offering, and then I put it on the altar, and then I look at the altar, and there's nothing on the plate. So I'm thinking, I didn't make the offering. So she gets ready to make another offering. You understand? She gets ready to make another offering because Lord Chaitanya had eaten the offering. So in this way, you can say, you know, you could basically say that Lord Chaitanya was very renounced and detached from his family, detached from Mother Sachi. But actually, he was coming every day to take prasadam that she was cooking. So you know, there's the external thing that's apparently happening, and then there's the internal thing that's happening. And then you can even say with his wife, Vishnupriya, because she didn't even see Lord Chaitanya, that she had a deity of Lord Chaitanya, and that deity is still there today in Mayapur. You can see the deity. And she would, after chanting her rounds, after some people say after one round, she offered one piece of rice, and that was her food. As many rounds as she chanted, that's as many pieces of rice. And some people say for every mantra, there was a piece of rice. So anyway, whatever it is, that's a little rice. Even for every mantra, you know, you don't get that many grains of rice. So she was worshiping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with intense separation from the Supreme Personality of God. And so you can say, how could Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do that? How can he subject his dear devotee, his dear wife, to such intense misery? Well, internally, just like we have Mother Sachi, she was directly cooking for the Lord every day. So internally, there's something else going on. In that mood of Vipralamba Seva, intense separation from the Lord, there's actually a very close connection. And we can experience that too. I mean, many times devotees talk about how they want to see Krishna. You know, we're a very visual culture. That's why we have, you know, internet. There's right around here. Anyway. Someone just walked in front of her. Anyway, so devotees talk about how they want to see Krishna, but you can actually associate with Krishna through remembrance, through transcendental sound vibration, and through serving Krishna's devotees like that. So we're not actually separated from Krishna. But Krishna externally does that sometimes just to increase our hankering, increase our intense mood. Like the story of Narada Muni. Narada Muni was the son of a maidservant. And of course he had the association with the sages, and his mother died because Krishna takes away everything that we're attached to. I hate to scare you like that. So, and then he went to the forest and he was wandering and he saw Krishna once. Right? He saw Krishna once. And Krishna said, "You're not going to see me again in this lifetime." You know, so Krishna just gives that little taste. You know, it's just like, oh, just like they say about, what, that Lay's potato chips? Bet you can't eat just one. You ever hear that before? So the same way, Krishna just gives you that little taste of the tip of your transcendental tongue. And then the rest of your life, you're just thinking, you know, wow, I want to get it. So this mood of separation is actually more intense and more connected than when one is meeting with the Supreme Personality of God. So Krishna not only does that with us, we're supposed to worship Krishna in the mood of separation, but Krishna does that with his dearest devotees, the gopis. I mean, Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and they're worshiping him for so many years. He left Vrindavan when he was 16, and they didn't see him again until Kurukshetra when he was 125 years old. Of course, he didn't look old. Neither did the gopis. And even then, they just wanted to see Krishna in Vrindavan, as we were talking the other day about Rath Yatra. They just wanted to drag Krishna back to Vrindavan. So this is the mood that we're supposed to be cultivating in devotional service. That, you know, the mood of Krishna. Like the Krishna, when will I see you? Like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan is described by Srinivas Acharya. Hey Radhe, Raja Devake, hey Nanda, Shuno Kuta, hey Radhe, O Radharani, Raja Devake, the goddess of Vrindavan. Hey Nanda Shuno, O son or dearmost of Nanda Maharaj, where are you? Hey Radhe, Raja Devake, hey Nanda Shuno Kuta, Kuta, Kuta means where are you? We want to see you. Sometimes they would get a glimpse of him. And sometimes they would get a glimpse of Radharani. Like when Raghunath Das Goswami, such an interesting story. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was in Radhakund, and every day he would be sitting out chanting his japa, even when it was very hot or was rainy or something like that. And at that time, Radhakund was like a jungle. It's not like today, you know, it's like a complete city. So it was a jungle. And then Sanatana Goswami came one day and he saw that Krishna was guarding Raghunath Das Goswami because there was a tiger there. There were tigers, jungle. And so he saw Krishna for a second. Another time, there was Raghunath Das Goswami. He was in the hot sun, and Radharani was holding her cloth over Raghunath Das Goswami's head. And so at that point, Sanatana Goswami said to Raghunath Das Goswami, you better build a bhajan kutir, because he never wanted to build a bhajan kutir. So in other words, there were little glimpses they had. Or another time, Rupa Goswami, Is it Rupa or Ranganath? Anyway, he composed, Rupa composed a verse of how Radharani's braid is like a snake. It looks to the back of her head, you know, where the braid, the hair braid was, looked like a snake. And Sanatana Goswami said to Rupa Goswami, it's really not appropriate to compare Radharani's braid to the snake. So then the next day he's out there and he sees some girls, little girls around, and then there's a girl with a long braid in the back of her hair, and he yells at her. He thinks it's a snake. He yells at her, "Little girl, there's a snake crawling up your head." And she and the other girls just run away laughing. And that was Radharani. And then also you have Radharani bringing to Rupa Goswami the ingredients for Sanatana Goswami's kheer. You know that story? So, you know, sometimes they catch a little glimpse. That's the point. You know, Sanatana Goswami chastised Rupa Goswami. How can we take service from Radharani? That was Radharani who brought those ingredients for the kheer. But generally they were feeling this great mood of separation from Krishna. So that's Krishna's great mercy, to put us in a situation where we're crying out, "Hey Krishna." That's how we should be chanting the holy names. Not, "Krishna, I've seen you, okay, been there, done it, seen it," as they say. But, "Krishna, connect me with you, let me see you." And then maybe we'll get a little glimpse sometimes. And then we'll feel really happy. So any questions or comments? I think it's time to greet the deities. Questions, comments, arguments about any of the points I made about Vipralamba Seva in class? Yes?
In the art, I saw your comment about Lord Chaitanya getting his hair cut.
Yeah.
He said Chaitanya was all day. He'd get up and dance.
Yeah, he wasn't a good customer. But the barber really didn't want to cut his hair. The barber's name was Madhu. He just said, "I'm not going to cut his hair. You know, such long, beautiful hair." And that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead's hair. It's beautiful. Our hair should be cut. On that note, our hair is impure. Whether it's gray or black or blue or whatever color.